Hello everyone, welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Today, we speak with Prashant Joshi, the MD and Head of Consumer Banking Group at DBS Bank India on women and finance. DBS Bank India, in collaboration with CRISIL, recently released the DBS Women and Finance Study. The study has surveyed 800 high-income urban women, both salaried and self-employed, across 10 Indian cities to capture their financial preferences. The report highlights that 47% of women take financial decisions on their own and that fixed deposits account for half of their investment portfolio. Hi Prashant, good afternoon and welcome to this episode of Simply Save.
Good afternoon, Maulik. Good to speak with you.
Prashant, so let's begin with you telling us where urban women invest their money. And, can you highlight some stats from the report on this?
Yes. And while you said it upfront, I think we spoke to about 800 women across the major metros and mini metros in the country. And, interestingly, if you look at where do urban Indian women invest their money, close to half of them, as you just said, right, actually keep their money in fixed deposits and savings accounts. I must also say that at this point, the fixed deposits rate actually are higher, compared to what they have been over the last few years. And therefore, it sounds like a sensible thing to do.
Right.
But followed by gold and then mutual funds, real estate, and only 7% women, that's what we have realized through our research, that they invest in stocks. So as you can see, the proportion kind of reduces as you go towards more risky investments.
Okay.
But there are two more nuances as well to this data. One is a geographical nuance. And interestingly, that close to 11% women actually dabble in the stock market and they are from Pune. Right? So clearly the risk appetite in Pune amongst women seems to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, in Pune, Mumbai, as well as in Delhi, a few women also have got into cryptocurrency investments.
Okay.
So I thought these were two interesting patterns.
So now, 41% of the women that, your study has surveyed, they have like an annual income of around 26 to 40 lakh. There's another 21% with annual incomes of 41 to 55 lakh. So, it's a fairly affluent section of women that you have covered. And yet, 51% of these women in women's investments are in FDs. So, the report also alludes to the fact that it shows risk averseness. But was just, curious to try and figure out, do you think it's all attributed to risk averseness or could it simply be a case of lack of awareness about how to invest in stocks and mutual funds? Or it could also be that a lot of these women are trying to invest on their own rather than taking professional advice that you highlighted.
Yeah, no, this is an interesting point you make. I think first, as I said, we need to understand that at this point in the interest rate cycle, to my mind, it's a smart decision to be invested in term deposits.
Okay.
Because the interest rates on term deposits are fairly high at this point in time. And therefore, yes, it's a conservative mode of investment. However, the risk-return paradigm actually right now is much better in favor of term deposits. So in a way, I would think that, these women are fairly smart.
Okay.
And therefore, they are not just looking at the return, but also looking at the risk. And therefore, where the risk-return paradigm looks better, they have chosen to go there. So that's the first thought that I have on this. The second point which you make is valid, because looks like, probably women are still at early stages of their investment journey.
Mm-hmm.
And typically in the early stages, even when I myself started my investment journey, and most of us when we start, we start with safer products.
Right.
As we get more familiar and wet our feet into the investments arena. So it probably it's more representative of that. And if you are actually if you have dependents, then you're actually going to think in terms of long-term family planning and security.
Okay.
And therefore, probably you would look at stable and secure products like term deposits. I can think of these as the potential reasons why it is what it is. But I think as you know, women start investing on their own and start mm-hmm. becoming more familiar with their own investment journeys,
right?
I think we will see a diversification away from term deposits.
Got it. So then coming to this other point, Prashant, now, you know, your report shows they are taking, you know, so there's a larger percentage of older women rather than younger women who are taking financial decisions on their own. Now, intuitively, I would believe that it's the younger women of today, you know, who have access to financial news and social media, who will tend to take financial decisions on their own. So this seemed a little counterintuitive to me. So if you can, you know, explain, you know, what's the logic behind this?
Yeah, I think the ability to make financial decisions or any decision on one's own, I think is actually a function of experience, one, and the confidence that one has in one's own decision-making abilities.
Sure.
Less so in the knowledge or the information availability. And therefore, as these women have progressed in their careers, you know, they have achieved a certain amount of wealth, you know, where now they're looking to invest, you know, clearly their own confidence in their own abilities has increased. And I think actually it speaks to that. Okay. And therefore, if you are an older woman, you know, over 45 years, mm-hmm. You know, close to actually 2/3 of them are making their financial decisions independently on their own. And if you look at 25 to 35 years of cohort, right. Then about 40% women are making these decisions on their own. So okay. I think it actually reflects the life stage, career progression, and the wealth that you have accumulated. And as a result, that the confidence that you get, mm-hmm. You know, to make your own decisions. Because in all fairness, you know, knowledge and information, as you rightly said, is available to everyone.
Right, right. In fact, another interesting stat from your report, you know, it says that 98% of the women that you have surveyed, they're involved in long-term financial decisions for their family. So there is some level of involvement. It also highlights the fact that 47% women seek advice and information from family members. In fact, for cities like Chennai and Coimbatore, it says that, you know, 70% of women are also taking advice and information from family members. So just want to understand, you know, to that extent, are we really capturing how many women are actually taking financial decisions on their own? Because if you are taking a lot of advice from the family, perhaps what looks like is your decision isn't really yours.
Yeah, interesting you say that, you know, because, you know, if 98% first of women are actually being party to the financial decisions, to me, that's a big thing. You know, and I think if 10 years back we had done this survey, probably the number would have been very different on the lower side. So first, clearly, I think the participation of women in financial decisions which affect the household are coming in. It's a very, very encouraging fact. So that's the first point I want to make. The second point, I think, is that who does one go to advise? You know, someone who you trust. Someone who you are close to, someone who you can trust. And therefore, the first port of call, you know, for not just for women, but for anyone else, even when we start making our first few investments or even later, we always want to know someone whom we know personally. And, you know, that typically tends to be a family member. And we seek their suggestions, seek their advice. It's just a normal thing to do.
Sure. Right?
But interestingly, from a banks and wealth managers' viewpoint, this is where the trust element comes in, you know. So therefore, if banks and the wealth management outfits, you know, can, you know, get the trust of women as well, you know, by doing the right thing, then clearly there is an opportunity, you know, where in addition to the family members, women actually can, you know, come to banks, their relationship managers, the advisors, wealth management outfits, wherever they go to for decision making.
The report also touches upon, you know, financial priorities of women. So just want to understand, you know, what are some of the top priorities for women? And do you see any variations across cities or the fact that, you know, there's a difference between salaried and self-employed women? So if you can highlight some data points there.
Yeah. So if I look at the top priorities for women, it doesn't come as a, you know, surprise, at least for salaried women, you know, for example, close to 1/4 of salaried women are actually looking at home ownership or upgrade of their homes.
Okay.
So clearly that's right on top of their agenda, right? Also in short term, 20% of women talk about making sure they want to support their family members. So home, supporting their own families is a big priority. And if the women who are married, actually they are looking at prioritizing their children's education. Again, this is something that you would expect.
Right.
And equally, if you're unmarried, you are going to focus on something like weddings or vacations. Again, right. That is something to be expected itself.
Right.
But particularly when women are self-employed, I think it's a very close contest, between home ownership and funding their own businesses.
Okay.
So if self-employed women actually are, less worried about home ownership, but want to make sure that they do well in their business. And again, from an age perspective, women who are over 45 years of age, again, naturally, are looking at health and wellness, right? And these are interesting trends, particularly for bankers or marketeers, because, depending upon what in a particular age group or in a self-employed versus salaried cohort, one can aim to tailor our products, right? So it becomes important from that standpoint. Interestingly, what we also found is that, regionally also there are variations in this.
Mm-hmm.
So in Northern India, retirement savings actually are very important. They have the topmost priority. While Western India is more about home buying and home upgrades. And interestingly, in South and East, it's children's education, right? Now, could potentially be, it's fact that the sample itself could have been kind of biased to say this, but even adjusting for that, I think these trends still hold.
Then Prashant, coming to the, last question, the report also talks about, credit card usage among women. So any interesting findings here, some of these variations that we see?
Yeah, I think one good thing that we saw is that 82% of the women whom we surveyed do use credit cards. So clearly it's a popular form of as a payment instrument, and as a credit instrument as well, right? So clearly it's very, very popular. And interestingly, if as your income goes up, more percentage of women use credit cards. Again, that's natural to expect. Of the affluent segment, 90% women, use credit cards, which is what one would expect.
Correct.
And interestingly, in terms of geographical spread, Hyderabad, everyone virtually whom we interviewed has a credit card. And my sense is that it's probably got to do with the proliferation of IT services. In Hyderabad, but this is a conjecture at this point in time, right? This is my guess that as a result, more women are using credit card there. And in Kolkata, the adoption rate is relatively lower, which is at 63%. So these are two specific kind of trends that we spotted. But obviously, we don't know why that happens. But yeah, but that it is what it is in terms of the credit card usage. But it takes me to a broader point as well, because a credit card is a form of a short-term loan. And overall in loans, as well, only half of the women actually take loans.
Okay.
We don't know that. But at least as a primary borrower, only half of the women take loans. And within that, close to 40% go for home loans, 1/3 go for vehicle loans, and about 1/4 go for personal loans. So again, among the women, it's clearly home, vehicle, and then other needs, right? That's how the hierarchy seems to stack up.
Kind of aligns with that. So Prashant, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Thanks a lot for your time. And with that, we wrap up this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do log into moneycontrol.com.